normally on Erev Bedikat Chametz, every year for the last 21 years, I have gone to an Azkara of a soldier who was killed this morning, 21 years ago. His name was Daniel Mandel, and his mother often speaks at the Midrashah. I'm not sure she spoke this year. Cheryl Mandel, did she speak? She might have done some dancing stuff with you during the war. So he was killed. He was an officer in Sahel, and he was killed 21 years ago, early this morning. And every Erev Bedikat Chametz, he's buried in Kfar Etzion, just next to our Yeshuv. There's an Azkara. The Azkara took place, I think, about half an hour ago. And I haven't missed one. I haven't missed one in 21 years, including the funeral. But I didn't make it to Torani last year, and I wanted to make sure that I got here this year. So I promised Cheryl, I said last night, and I hope her husband will listen as well, to Reb David, that I would give a shiur in his memory. Died a very young man, fighting for the country. I want to speak, therefore, it's hard. I gave a whole shiur to the girls in the Midrashah about Pesach, so I have to deal with something else so that I won't be repeating myself for them. So I want to speak a bit about Nisan, the month of Nisan. Can you hear me at the back? Yeah, you can. Okay. I want to speak about the month of Nisan, specifically Rosh Chodesh, okay, and what that has to do with us and what we are about to do tomorrow night, what we're about to celebrate and what it means, what it's meant to mean perhaps. So have you got sheets, right? Okay, good. So again, those of you who know me, and I will finish on time. Don't be worried about the size of the sheet, or I'll get through the sheet, or I won't get through the sheet. You don't have to like check them off as I get each one done. So we know this Rashi, the first Rashi in Torah, but we know it for other reasons that I'm not really going to speak about. He says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzhak lo yatzarich la'atchil et haTorah ela me'achodesh hazeh lachem." The Torah should have started from Perek Yud Bet in Shemot, the first mitzvah, which is Rosh Chodesh. That's where it should have started. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzavu b'Yisrael. That's the first mitzvah that Am Yisrael received. Umatam batach b'Bereishit. So the next part we understand, what we've heard before. How we are meant to understand it is a different shit. It's a different question. What is the book of Bereishit about? What are the first chapters in Shemot about? And Shema, the Goyim would come, because perhaps they'll do that every single day of the year and say that we stole this land, or that their grandma is older than our country because their grandma is 3,500 years old, which is very unique, and they should put her in the Guinness Book of Records. But I'm not dealing with that part of Rashi now. Just to the fact that the Torah should have begun from the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, and that being Nisan. Look at Siftei Chachamim. Ma she'en ken mila v'gidan asher. So you would ask immediately, but there are other mitzvot in Sefer Bereshit. There are other mitzvot before Rosh Chodesh. She'lo nitzavu bahem ela yechidim. But they don't count because they were individual commandments. They don't become national commandments until the Torah is given at Har Sinai. So even though the issur of eating gid hanasher, or the mitzvah to do brit milah, are in Bereshit, they don't count as national mitzvot until we receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And therefore, says Siftei Chachamim, the chosman shelo nitzavu bam kol Yisrael einam nechshavot michlal mitzvotea. They're not counted as national mitzvot. And that's why the first mitzvah, which is a national mitzvah, which was given to Am Yisrael, is now in Nisan, just before Yetziat Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh. What I eventually want to get to here is, why is that so important? Why is that so fundamental? Out of all that's the very first mitzvah you're going to give Am Yisrael is Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur, I don't know, Pesach, Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh is the first mitzvah given to Am Yisrael. So look at the Ramban. Now the Ramban says something, and remain essentially blue and white, a different blue and white. But when I came on Aliyah, I forgot the months of the year, January, February, March, April. I was going to be very frum, and we're going to go Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. I signed all my checks. We used to sign checks in those days on the Hebrew month. But of course, if You're thinking about it, you know, but that's not the Hebrew month. They are Persian months. They come up in Megillah Esther, but they don't come up anywhere else in Tanakh beforehand. The months of the year, Jewish months of the year, are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's it. There are 12 months in the year, and they are numbered. So I was trying to be super frum, and I'm going to write Nisan now, but in fact, Tammuz, according to some people, is the name of an Avodah Zarah, Bichlal. It's mamish, not a Jewish name. But I wanted to be Dafka, so I wanted to sign my chase. I used to go crazy, because then I have to work out the Hebrew date with the English date, but it's legitimate. You can do that in Israel. You can sign a check based on those months. So look at the Ramban. V'tam ha-chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim, shimnu oto Yisrael chodesh rishon. Nisan is going to be the first month. V'umimenu yimnu kol ha-chodashim sheni shlishi ad tashlum ha-shana b'shnei masa chodesh. And they're going to count each month, the first, the second, the third, the fourth, etc. Kedei sheyeze zikaron b'nei sagadol. What's it similar to, says the Ramban? Every morning we go to shul, we say, Hayom yom rishon, hayom yom sheni, hayom yom shlishi, right? We say that every day. Why do we do that? The Ramban says, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of remembering Shabbat. Zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekadsho. How do you remember Shabbat? Because each day, today is the first day of the week. Today's the first day of what? First day since when? Is Shabbat. So Ramban says exactly the same regarding the months. We count the months, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., in order to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the Ramban. So it's not just about Rosh Chodesh, it's about Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. And when we come to Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim, we can go off on a slight tangent here. Why do we need to do that? Do we have a problem with our memory? Why do we need to be reminded? We have a mitzvah every day, Zeichel Yetziat Mitzrayim. Every single day. We say the Shema at night, Zeichel Yetziat Mitzrayim. We don't do it for tefillin, because tefillin you're not chayav at night. So we say the third paragraph of the Shema, Asher Seiti Etchem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Every Shabbat on Kiddush, we say Zeichel Yetziat Mitzrayim. Every Rosh Chodesh is Zeichel Yetziat Mitzrayim. Every chag is Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. So what's the problem with our memory? Why do we need to be reminded so many times Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim? And how do we differentiate, which is an enormous sugya that comes up everywhere, between the mitzvah of Sippur Yetziat Mitzrayim and Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim? The mitzvah tomorrow night is Sippur, is Lesaper. But it's only tomorrow night Lesaper. The mitzvah to remember is every day. So what's the difference between the two? So volumes have been written. In short, I would suggest that the difference between the two, and that's perhaps what Rosh Chodesh is about. Tomorrow night we're meant to remember how we came out of Egypt. I think that we are, not even homiletically speaking, we seem to be reliving history on a regular basis. You just have to open your eyes and open your ears and see what goes on around you and understand, not just lenaf nefes. Very interesting, you know, that when there's a midrash says that when Am Yisrael were walking through the sea, it's a midrash, walking through the sea doing Kriyat Yam Suf, there were Jews who were complaining that it was muddy. Like there are Jews today who complain that we're in such a bad situation, like hell. You've been to Auschwitz, you've seen what Auschwitz is, and tell me we're in a bad situation. Jews were walking through Kriyat Yam Suf and getting their feet dirty. They were complaining. The walls are standing up. The water is standing at attention to the Jewish people. And there are Yidden walking through the middle saying, oh my God, I'm going to have to get new shoes. So there's always a Yid who says that. Always a Yid, it wasn't really a nace. No, because the Iranians told the Americans, do me a lemon. It was a miracle. They sent 300 bombs here, missiles. They get one. You want to tell stories, tell stories. But then you become a Malik, right? Because you turn everything into a Suffolk. Everything becomes a Suffolk. You don't want to see anything. You open your eyes, become cynical about everything. Always Jews who want to turn it round. Like Six-Day War was natural. It was so unnatural that in America, they won't even teach it in West Point. They won't even teach the Six-Day War in West Point. It was so unnatural. They won't teach it as a strategic war. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Anything that happened in Six-Day War, neither does the Yom Kippur. Arik Sharon crossed the Suez Canal and totally closed the Egyptian army from behind. We were miles away from Cairo and Damascus by the end of 1970. It's clouded over by the amount of casualties that we had. So there are always people who want to But what is the difference between sipur? That's a saper. That's a saper to tell the story, you know. Those of you who've been here all year, you'll have a story to tell, right? You've seen Israel. This is Israel. Israel's not falafel and pita. That's an Arab food, bichlal. Jewish food is matzah. Jewish food is matzah. Knedlach's not even a Jewish food. Jewish food is matzah. But what you've seen is le saper. You've seen how a country is built, how a country is defended by heroes. Jeremy's wife just brought out a book, my colleague in the Midrashah, she just brought out a book with a number of people. They interviewed 40 people from October 7th, each of whom someone died, a soldier, it could be someone who was killed trying to defend their kibbutz. Their stories are simply unbelievable. They're just heroism beyond belief. Every single one of them's dead, right? All of those 40 people are dead. These are relations talking about what they did or what they've heard that they've done. So that's le saper. So what's zeicher? Le saper is to tell a story. What is zeicher? I think very often in life, many of us have learned Gemara. If you learn a Mishnah, I think I must have said this in Masilat Yesharim at some stage. You learn a Mishnah, and you kind of lose your track with the Mishnah, right? You kind of lose your derech in a Mishnah, and you're just waiting for the two dots. The two dots is like geula, right? That two dots is going to be a new sugya, geula. Get to two dots, and then you get caught up again. You just spend your whole life waiting for two dots in the Vilna Shas, looking for a place where. So, if you don't remember the Mishnah, you'll never understand the Gemara. So, if you're learning from a Schottenstein or from a Steinsaltz, whenever they get to a new part in the Gemara, and they'll quote the Mishnah. If you're learning from a Vilna Shas, it doesn't quote the Mishnah, and then you're suddenly trying to work out what was the Mishnah. What is the point that I'm trying to make? Zecher is not about telling the story of what happened, of how we came out of Egypt. Zecher is remembering why. Is remembering why. Every so often in life, you lose track. Sam, I'll get it right here. You can't see the forest for the trees. That's correct. That's the right way around. If you can't see the forest for the trees, right, you're so involved in individual issues that you can't see the forest, you can't see the overall picture. And very often you get caught up in the detail. You can do it now, right? You can, like, you're scrubbing things and scrubbing things and scrubbing things. Half the things we scrub once you're married, half the things we scrub have absolutely nothing to do with chametz. There's absolutely nothing to do with chametz. It's absolutely just an excuse to clean. And you're asking what all these details and these details and kubolo kach poto and all the halachas. There's so many halachas of Pesach. And you can get so involved that you can forget. You can totally forget why you're doing what you're doing. You can forget why you're a Jew. You can forget. And every so often the goyim have to remind us who I am. So I think that's what Zeichel is, Yom Yisrael. Sipur is telling the story. Zeichel is to remember why. Every so often you have to be reminded why. Sometimes they remind us. People forgot they were Jewish in a lot of places in the world. So the Goyim reminded us now. They will keep reminding us. Very shocking the way they're reminding us. A bit of a rude awakening is an understatement of what's going on in the world today. Many Jews forgot they were Jews. Many Jews, they told me, but I can't believe that's true. They told me that there were some people in England took the mezuzahs off their doors because they were worried. But I imagine this was very irreligious Jews. They'll still find them. They'll still find them, because a Jew, they'll always find a Jew. I mean, they'll always find a Jew. So that's a part of Zeicher. But the Ramban says that's an important part of what HaChodesh Hazeh is, to remember coming out of Egypt. Why? It's the beginning of the Jewish people. Whatever you do, and I imagine it will be a fantastic Seder night, all of you together, you've got no hagbalot, you've got no boundaries, no limitations, and you can do Seder night like Rabbi Akiva, right, until it's Kriyat Shema time. Remember what the evening's about. It is, I have no doubts, Leil HaSeder is the first Yom HaAtzma'ut of the Jewish people. And if you want to know what you should be doing on Yom HaAtzma'ut, see what Chazal told us to do on Leil HaSeder, because that's what it is. It's a night of independence. It's our first night of independence. We became a people. And HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's your month, because the rest of the world, we'll see it in the next source, the rest of the world always kept from the natural year, from Tishrei, the agricultural year. This was a chiddush to the world. No one, there are two worlds, right? There's a world where man was created. I'm not going into the machloket, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Man was created on Kaf Hei Elul, on Rishon B'Tishrei. The world was created Kaf Hei Elul. That's the individual. But now we have a nation. And the nation is created on Nisan. That's on. We have a new calendar, which starts now. And that's what's happening. On tomorrow night, we will be celebrating Atzma'ut, the independence of the Jewish people. That's where we began. We're going back to our roots. Go to Oznaim LaTorah, the Rebbe Milutz. Rishon hu lachem l'chodshe ashan. He's going to say just what I think, what he said. Lefi she'ad ata manu et tchilat ashan min Tishrei. Until now, they counted the years from Tishrei. Shebonev raha olam, because that's when the world was created. Aval olam yesh tachlit u'neshama. But the world has a purpose. So you know the Gemara in Shabbat Peichet, where vayhi erev vayhi voke yom hashishi, where God says the world's creation is dependent on Yom HaShishi. HaShishi meaning the sixth of Sivan. Then im yekablu et haTorah mutav, if they accept the Torah, good. If not, achzir et haOlam leTov vavo, I will return the world to chaos. So the world exists before Nisan, but the neshama isn't there until Am Yisrael comes out of Egypt and gets the Torah. Yesh tachlit v'neshama v'hi memshelet chukei haTorah al tzeitzavim. Ein Yisrael mekablim et haTorah, ani machzir et haOlam leTohu vavohu. U'mimeila kesheani goelet Yisrael al menat she'ta'avdun et Elokim al har Sinai. So that's an incredible statement. So the Rosh Chodesh is it's a totally new concept that's happening. We have a dual year. I would like to phrase it. I have paraphrased it in the fourth. Im ein ani li mili u'chesheani la'atzmi ma'anim. Ein ani li mili. If I am for myself, who am I? If I'm not for myself, who am I? And when I'm only for myself, then what am I? So there's myself, there's me, there's a year that begins in Tishrei, which is the year of the individual. And there's a year that begins in Nisan, which is the year of the nation. I think, I don't agree or disagree, I think this is unique to our country. It's not something in all my years of B'nai Akiva. I was in B'nai Akiva in England. I wrote We Believe in the Torah. I am the author, Lennon, McCartney, and me. Yeah. And I wrote it in 1984.
Can you write that other verse as well?
I wrote all the
we
verses.
Are waiting for the coming of Mashiach.
No, they changed it. I'll sue. And I was Mazkir in B'nai Akiva, as well as my student. And you were also a movement worker, weren't you?
I was 2 years in Moscow. Yeah, 2 years in
Moscow,
yeah.
So, but b'chol zot, when I grew up in England, I understood two things. Number one, I understood that I was an individual, and I understood that I was part of a community. I never, ever felt that I was part of a nation. When I'm in Israel, I'm part of a nation. I think it's been extended a bit over the past months, like never before, because issues going on here have affected Jews everywhere in the world. But nonetheless, I never felt that before. Personally, I never felt it before. And I've said time and time again, when I'm in Poland, I cannot go to a village in Poland and see an entire village buried and say, we won. It's a Narishkeit. What do you mean we won? There are 1,500 people buried underground here. What do you mean we won? Is that winning? So you can't say you won as an individual because so many people were killed. You can't say you won as a congregation because communities were absolutely destroyed. But as a people, we won because we're still here. And you have to be able to look at yourself as a people. So I have no idea. I told the girls a few weeks ago, I think we're in the middle of a Megillah here. We're mamash in the middle of Megillah. I don't know which peret we're in. I got no idea which peret we're in. And I know how it's going to end. I have no idea whether I'm going to be there. I hope I'll be there, but I've got no idea. But I have an emunah shleima that my nation will be there. As long as we listen to Mr. Biden and we don't attack Haifa. Because he told us not to attack Haifa. That's what he told the entire American nation yesterday. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu, that the two people running for presidency of the most powerful country in the world are Donald Trump and Mr. Biden. And we'll all bench Gomel afterwards. But you're part of a nation. That's an incredible thing. The nation starts with Nisa. Go to the next source, Yalkut Margaliot. Nimsenu lemeidim shiyisel monim lalevanav umot haolam lachama. Now, this is also interesting. The non-Jewish world, the Christian world, they don't really have months. Months don't exist by the Christian world. They divide the year by 12. A leap year is an extra day in February, right? They don't have months. They have years. They run through the solar system. The Arabs, as we know, the Muslims, not the Arabs, because they're Arab Christians as well, the Muslim Arabs, or Muslims bichlal, they only go by the month. And that's why, well, you won't come back. You'll be on Aliyah already. But if you're in 10 years' time, they'll be doing Ramadan in the middle of Hanukkah. Because every year, the lunar year loses 11 days on the solar year, right? So we make it, but Judaism is different, right? We have both. We have the moon and we have the sun. The moon is what we're going to talk about now, but we can't only run by the moon, because if we run by the moon, then Pesach will end up in the winter and Sukkot will end up in the winter too, totally, or in the summer even, early summer. So every few years we have to add in a month. So we're a complicated people. We have the moon, but we have the sun. But Be'ikar, we have the moon. So what does he say here? Nimsenu lemeidim shiyisel monim lalevanav umot haolam lechama. Lo dayam lisel el echad l'shloshim yom magbim enehem la'avim shebashamayim Yisrael monim lelevanav. We count by the moon. Now this is really what I want. Everything here is like hors d'oeuvres, right? So it's to this piece in the Tivot Shalom. The original question that I wanted to ask was why? Why is this the first mitzvah? So the Ramban says it's Zechel Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the reason. And we have an anniversary of the Jewish people. But I want to add this piece from the Tivot Shalom. Specifically, I just think it's so relevant. It's so relevant to everything that's going on now. This month, Adam Harishon did not count. From the beginning of Adam until Yetziat Mitzrayim, they counted years from Tishrei. Only after that they started counting according to the months. Rishon hu lachem, ve'lo la'akum, not the goyim, only the Jews. The Jews have from Nisan. Nimsenu lemeidim shiyisel monim lelevanam, lelevanav akum lechama. So we count according to the moon, and they according to the sun. Okay. V'tzarich biyur. I don't think the Tivot Shalom had an enormous amount of exposure to the Muslim world. There aren't really Muslims in Eastern Europe at all to this day. When we were going to Poland this year, I had parents telling me it's very dangerous, so I went onto the Foreign Office website, and in fact, it was safer to go to Poland or Lithuania than it was to go to America, England, South Africa, or Australia. There aren't any Muslims in Poland. They are totally racist. To this day, they throw banana skins at black football players. They are totally racist, totally racist, and they don't let anyone come into their country. I'm not sure that anyone wants to come into their country, but Louis at Suya, they would want to go into their country to live there. There aren't. You don't see any black people. No Chinese there. There's no one. You don't see any foreign people in the country. So I don't think the Tivot Shalom, we lived in Lithuania, really. It's on the border there. Baranovich, Slonim. I don't think he really had much hichyachasut to Muslims. So when he says they keep to the sun, he's referring to Christians. V'sarich biyur ha'inyan zeh, v'lama dafka b'mitzvah zo ha'torah medgishah lachem v'lo lakum. What's special about this month? Why is it the first mitzvah? Why is it the first mitzvah? What's so special about the moon? V'ha'inyan, next paragraph. Be'ekdem ma shemasinu b'chazal she'ifligu m'od b'godel inyan kiddush ha'levana. The importance of sanctifying the moon. U'chamo she'darshu min ha'pasuk ha'chodesh hazeh lachem b'sanhedrin kol ha'mavarech al ha'chodesh b'izmano ke'ilu mekabel p'nei ha'shchina. V'yesh leva'eh. De'inyan yisir monim le'levana hu she'ha'levana yesh zmanim she'ibasi ha'choshe. The moon is something which is very interesting. There are times when you cannot see the moon at all. The end of the month, the beginning of the month, it's almost indecipherable. You go outside, you wouldn't know unless you had this expertise to differentiate between a white point, which is a bit of the moon, and a star. You wouldn't know or if you had a telescope. You see absolutely no light at all. But you do know one thing. You know that there will be a full moon on the 15th of the month. There will always be a full moon. Meaning, even if there are times when you're in absolute darkness, you know that it will not last forever. You know that it will pass. I can tell you personally, at the beginning of this current war, I've been here in Israel for 34 years. I was Mazkira Ben Akiva in 1989, and I made Aliyah immediately, and I came straight to Israel. No pressure. And Torah be'avodah, right? We believe in it, so we believe in Aliyah. Yeah? So I came straight away. I've been here for 34 years. I started here on the top of the mountain in Male Gilboa with a kibbutz. I've been through two intifadas, a number of wars, some terrible terrorist attacks. My next door neighbor was murdered. My wife's first cousin was murdered. My wife's first cousin's son was then killed in a freak accident when he was working for the Mossad. And then his other brother was killed in the first week of the war. We've been to enough funerals. I've seen a lot of stuff here. I've never in my life experienced what I experienced on Simchat Torah on a personal level. To kiss your sons goodbye in uniform, I'd finished davening when this all came out. I was just finishing Musaf when they came in and said, you've got to go to the shelters. Well, so I managed to get a complete davening. And then for the rest of the day, I remember. I don't think I'll forget it for the rest of my life. It's engraved in my heart. Going into the streets and giving both of my sons a kiss and said, both, one's Golani, one's Givati. And at the time, they were going up north. And the months that followed that were harder still. It took a few weeks. One son stayed in the north. The other went into Gaza within a few weeks. Every week or so, I went to visit him at his base. Every time I said goodbye, I had to give him a bracha. And I choked every time I gave him a bracha. I didn't want to see him again. And now I'm doing it all again. You got another Sav Shmoneh, second day Pesach, he's going back into Gaza. My son-in-law's going back into Gaza. So they're just waves or whatever. I never remember such darkness. And at the same time, the Helem, which those of you who were here, you're all here at the beginning, you remember what it was, right? No one really knows what's going on. A pogrom took place in our homeland. We built a homeland to not do that. So it is different because we're fighting back and we're retaliating. We didn't retaliate in 1905 in Kishinev. We didn't retaliate in Yedvavna in 1941. We couldn't. We didn't have the wherewithal to do that. But now we are. But we never, ever dreamed that we'd see a pogrom in our land. That's what it was. It was a pogrom. Not just by Hamas. You just have to watch the films to see. Not just by Hamas. Old men with sticks don't work for Hamas. And they marched into Yishuvim, and they stole, and they raped. I never thought I'd see that. Absolute choshe. How'd you get through that? How'd you live through that? I don't know how you lived through it. I can tell you how I lived through it. There's a guy from... Who's from? No one said Hendon, right? There used to be a rabbi in Hendon. I don't know whether you remember Rabbi Silberg. You won't remember him. He was years ago. He made Aliyah. He passed away a few years ago. His eldest son lives in our Yishuv. His grandson was killed. He's called Dov Silberg. His grandson was killed. Dov's son was killed. I went up to Dov one day. I go up to him every so often in the Yeshuva. We're different ages, whatever. I don't really know him that well, but we, you know, come from England, whatever. And I asked Dov, yeah, how are you doing? So he said to me, you know, each day. Now, each day passes. You just got to get through the days. And the truth is, when I thought about it, that's how we get through it, right? You get through the day. You know that it will pass. You know that it will pass. So you've just got to get through it. So there's a time when there's no levana, but you know there will be a levana. You know there will be a levana. There always has been, and that's our belief. There will be a levana. It's very important that this be our first mitzvah, because this is the history of the Jewish people. If I ask you, and I don't know, my girls might remember me asking this before, how many, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, how many years in the history of the Jewish people have we actually lived? Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, in the 3,500 years since Avraham Avinu, how many years have we lived that ideal?
500.
40. Shlomo HaMelech was king of Israel, of all of Israel. He built the Beit Mikdash. And after Shlomo HaMelech died, the kingdom split. So it wasn't Am Yisrael. It was the two tribes and the 10 tribes. From 40 years, in 3,500 years of darkness, we've had sparks of light, flashes of light, but we have to live through the darkness. This is an incredible point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what it is to be a Jew. I've got to tell you a story. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. I've got to tell you, there's this very short Rabbi Nachman story. Very short Rabbi Nachman story. A Jew and a Goy living in a shtetl, both very poor, living in the streets. And the Jew turns around to the Goy and he says to the Goy, there's something big happening in the Jewish community tonight. It's called Pesach. And the Jews are going to have a banquet. You come with me to shul, put a kippah on your head, pretend you're Jewish, you're going to eat. Tonight you're going to eat well. So they both go to shul. And after shul, the Yidden, they take the Jew and they take the Goy to different houses. They fix to meet again 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning in the square. So they meet in the square and the Goy is cursing. What a ridiculous, stupid, idiotic people you are. The Jew is like, he's like overflowing with food, right? He's like, what are you talking about? You went to a family, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He says, the first thing is we got to their house. It took them 20 minutes to sit down. They sat down. Then 10 minutes of singing something. Then everyone had half a potato. That's it. They gave out half a potato. Then they stopped talking again for 2.5 hours. So I'm sitting there on half a potato for 2.5 hours. After 2.5 hours, they bring out this incredibly indigestible bread. And then horseradish. At this stage, I threw up the table and walked out. So the Jew says to him, you're such an idiot. If you'd have got through the maror, you would have had a full meal. But if you won't go through the maror, you won't get through the whole meal. You have to be, for a Jew, you have to be prepared to eat maror. And you have to have perspective. There's something, you know, you're going to have a Seder plate on the table, right? Now, how many of you here? 45, you said? So let's just say, Bilachumra, Lachumra, Mishnah Brua, 5 kazetim. Everyone has to have 5 kazetim. Right, you all have to have 5 kazetim. If your stomachs can do that, kol hakavod. Let's say a kazayit is 40% of a handmade matzah. I'm going Lachumra, okay? 40% of a handmade matzah. Maybe half a machine matzah, okay? I'm going to Chumrah, okay? But just, it doesn't really matter for my example. Times that by 50. You have to have 250 matzot on your Seder plate. Now, we're going to have maror. Maror ideally is lettuce with a bit of horseradish, right? So let's, for argument's sake, it's one leaf of lettuce. So there's 50 leaves of lettuce. So who has a Seder plate that can facilitate 250 pieces of matzah and 50 pieces of lettuce? And a bucket of charoset and a bucket of salt water. We don't have that stuff. So what's the point of a Seder plate? If your house is anything like my house is or was, then we have matzah by the side of the table and we have lettuce in the kitchen. And when we come to the mitzvah, we bring out the stuff. The plate is simply symbolic. So why have the plate? Why have the plate? What's the point? There's no practical point to having a Seder plate. Unless I'm saying that on this eve, this Leil HaAtzmaut to the Jewish people, I'm being told that if you're a Jew, you have to have perspective. You have to be able to see the maror, and you see the matzah, and you see the Pesach. You see, you have to see everything. You have to be able to see everything, not just here and now. It's not just about here and now. You know, if I wasn't so in the middle of this and didn't have a family, I would find this incredibly fascinating. I mean, this is far more interesting than the Megillah. There are so many different things going on, and Ukraine's got something to do with it. Russia, China, Iraq, Ichveis, everything. It's so fascinating. If our lives weren't at stake, it would be really interesting if I was just reading the book. It would be really interesting. Something's going on, right? I have to be able to have a look at that perspective. I cannot accept when I hear, and I spoke about this morning very briefly to our alumni, I cannot accept it when people say we can't have a Seder night when this is going on. What are you talking about? There was a Shilat in the Kovno ghetto. A chazan was just about to daven shachris. He turns round to Rabbi Oshri. He writes it in Shuta Mimamakim, and he says to him, I can't say Shelot Asani Avid. I say every morning Shelot Asani Avid. I'm an Avid. I'm a slave. How can I possibly say Shelot Asani Avid? So I don't want to say it anymore. So Rav Oshri gives him the following answer. He says, what's it going to do? You know this from learning the Shulchan Aruch, right? That the order of those brachot is according to chiyuvim in mitzvot. If you're an Eved, you're not chayv in many mitzvot. So you thank God that you're not an Eved because you have almost no mitzvot if you're an Eved. He says, that's got nothing to do with slavery to the Germans. I want to tell you something. You ever heard of Natan Sharansky? Anatoly Sharansky? He was a big guy. He's a big guy. Well, when I was a kid, it was all about free Sharansky. 2, 4, 6, 8, open up the Iron Gate. Every week we were at Hyde Park and we were demonstrating. And Sharansky writes in his book, Fear No Evil. And he actually spoke in the Midrash Shah once. He told exactly the same story. He was being interrogated by the KGB because he was a Zionist spy. And he turns round to the KGB. He records it in his book, and I heard him tell the story. And he turns around to there were always two interrogators from the KGB, and he turns around to him and he says, I'm more free than you are. And I said, what are you talking about? We're going home. You're going to a gulag forever. And they start laughing. He said, I'm going to prove to you that I'm more free than you are. I'm going to tell you a joke. In the middle of an interrogation, I'm going to tell you a joke. The president of the USSR at the time was a man called Leonid Brezhnev. When I was a kid, he was Brezhnev. So he tells the joke. Here's a joke about Brezhnev. They're already shaking, right? Because they're watching them in cameras. They can't laugh. No smirks here. So he says, Leonid Brezhnev gets all the Russian scientists together when America lands a man on the moon. And he's furious. How did the Americans beat us to landing a man on the moon? He says, but I'm going to beat the Americans. I'm going to land a man on the sun. So the scientists kind of go, And he can see that they're looking at him besafik. The refet, that's from the refet. And he says, no, you think I'm stupid, right? I'm going to land a man on the sun at night. That was a joke. Sharansky bursts out laughing, and these two KGB are shtum. If they smirk, they're going to Siberia. So then he says, so who's free? Who's free, you or me? I'll spend the rest of my life in Siberia, but I can laugh. So I have imunah, I have a faith. You can't even grin without worrying about who's watching you. So what is freedom? So the Kovno Rav, who lived long before that, he said, Shelo Asani Aved has nothing to do with that. When we say on Seder night, if God had not brought us out, we'd still be there. We wouldn't still be there. It's not the same people. We would still be there in a mindset. My Judaism gives me freedom. My belief gives me a freedom. It gives me something I never had. And that freedom means that I have to have that perspective, that ability to stand back a second. So you're telling me that I don't know where to start or where to finish. Just on another point which has something to do with this. You know Tanakh, right? So you know Eliyahu HaNavi. How did Eliyahu HaNavi finish with Am Yisrael? Well, terrible. Terrible. He did the Nes at Har HaKarmel. Then the people, a few days later, are doing Avodah Zarah. And he says, yeah, I'm finished with you, Lord. A waste of time. And he turns around to God. He says, I'm finished with these people. So God says, go to Har Sinai. He sends him to Har Sinai. And what happens at Har Sinai? You ever hear the rock group Earth, Wind and Fire? I think it's based on these psukim, actually. They're very biblical, though, some of these old groups. That's before your time, Earth, Wind and Fire. But God brings three massive, massive an earthquake, lightning, and wind. And each pasuk says that God is not in this, God is not in this, God is not in this. And then there is a kol demamah dakah, there is a very slight voice, and God is in the kol demamah dakah. And then God asks Eliyahu, so what are you doing here? And he repeats the same sentence, your people are a waste of time. So God, in my word, says, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Get out of here. You don't believe in my people. What was God's message? If you're going to be madrichim or madrichot, it's very important. God's meant, if you think you're going to educate people by doing big events, earthquakes and fires, and like, that's not education. Education is every single day. Good education is about the details. It's teaching every single day. Anyone can do a big Iruah, but that doesn't affect people. Uvda, they offered to the golden calf after Har Sinai. Doesn't make a difference. And then he asks Eliyahu again, so what are you doing here? And he rants against the people. That's where it ends. So God says, go and get Elisha. You're finished. If Eliyahu is such anti-Israel, why do we invite him to our Seder night? Why do we invite him to our Brit Milah every single year? Why? Why? He ended on a bad note. He was cursing the people. The job of a Navi is to defend the people in front of God and defend God in front of the people, but not to attack the people in front of God. If the Navi is not going to protect me, who's going to protect me? So why is he invited to come to? So I saw something really interesting in my Haggadah. And what I said was like this. Eliyahu says to God, your people are a waste of time. So God says to Eliyahu, you think my people are a waste of time? You're going to visit my people at every Seder night from now to eternity, at every Brit Milah. You're going to see a Brit Milah in Auschwitz. You're going to see a Seder night in the Warsaw Ghetto. And then you come back to me and tell me my people are a waste of time. There's no such thing as a Jew ever not celebrating Pesach, because the freedom we're talking about is much greater than the freedom of my body. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have seats at my table for Chatufim, as I had seats at my table at home in England. I had seats at my table for Natan Sharansky and Ida Nudel and Yosef Mendelevich. All the prisoners of Zion, we used to have seats at our table to remember all of these people every year. And of course, if you're from the family, you're in it's a bad state of affairs. And for the people, it's not a good state. But not to celebrate, what are you talking about? You have to see the whole plate. You tell people 80 years ago where they're lying in a bunk bed in Auschwitz, 12 on each bench, that there's going to be a country here and we're going to have an army and we're going to have a government. I don't care whether it's Bibi Netanyahu, it's her. I really don't care. It's Malchus. It still beats Margaret Thatcher. I speak in my own years, okay? I don't speak in your years because I don't know his name. He's Rishi something, right? Rishi, okay? Still beats that. When I went to Chutz La'aretz in the winter, I was more worried in Chutz La'aretz because I don't have an army behind me. Here I got my army. I'm armed. My sons are armed. I have uniform. I don't have that on the underground in England when they all start screaming, Free Palestine. I don't even know where it is. I don't even know where it is or what it is. And all the lesbians and homosexuals are screaming, they love Hamas and they love Hamas and they love Hamas. And come meet Hamas. I'll bring you to Rafiach or Rafa, as you like to call it. And see what they tell them, that your boy and boyfriend, and see what they do. Go, please, Bavakasha. They can all go there. All the Scottish can go there as well. Celtic can go. Celtic United can go and visit. Och and they, right? They're suddenly, they all, and the Irish, oh, the Irish, freedom fighters, the Irish who blew up so many British people in Birmingham, in London. I remember, I grew up when they were blowing up people, and now they're all preaching to us about morality. Okay, Beseda, so Bavakasha, go to Gaza, have a good time. Have a good time. See, I'm pretty free. I've got a Seder plate. I have Maror on my Seder plate. I have a lot of Maror on my Seder plate. In our cemetery in Gush Etzion, there were three soldiers buried in the section for soldiers in September. There are 11 now. That's a lot of soldiers for a small area of Israel. There are 11 in that section. There are other soldiers like Daniel buried in the main section. They hadn't built an army area in those days. But there are 8 more soldiers who have been buried in 6 months. That's unbelievable. We have a lot of maror, but there are other things on the Seder plate. There are other things on the Seder plate, and that's very important to be able to see the other things on the Seder plate. This is the Yom HaAtzmaut to the Jewish people. We have important lessons to remember here, and one is that it will be dark. HaChodesh Hazeh Tiyeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. The moon is my symbol, and sometimes you can't see anything. You'll notice, right, that the Chagim are always in the middle of the month, always on a full moon. And don't ask me about Shavuot, because Shavuot is based on Pesach. It doesn't have a date, right? So Shavuot is the exception to the rule. But the Chagim, Pesach, Sukkot, I'm bang in the middle of the month when there's an absolute levana, there's absolute clarity. It's meant to be Simcha, right? Because we know that even if there is a period where we have certain darkness, on a personal level, I actually adopted this as a way of dealing with certain crises when I had them many years ago. I don't know whether you know the Gush, but there wasn't always a tunnel. You used to have to drive through Bethlehem and Dehisha. You have to drive through Arab cities and Arab refugee camps or whatever. And I once broke down in an Arab refugee camp at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was raining, and I was on my own, and I broke down, and I wasn't going to phone home and tell my wife I'd broken down in Tahisha because I didn't want my wife to come and pick me up. So I phoned my friend Jeremy to come and pick me up, and it was pouring with rain. So imagine the scene. I'm in this like Arab refugee camp just in the main road. I was actually there the day Oslo was signed as well. A surreal moment. I was listening to Shimon Peres, Zichro Livracha, and Bill Clinton, and they're all talking about a new Middle East, and I was surrounded by Arabs who were rocking my car. There were soldiers there as well, but they were rocking my car, backwards and forwards. And I could hear Bill Clinton talk about the new Middle East, and I remember actually saying with my black English humour, Bill, why don't we swap places for a while, and I'll go over there and speak about the new Middle East, and you can sit and rock it in my car. And so I'm sitting in my car, and it's pouring with rain, and my friend's going to come pick me up. And we've been friends for 40 years, right? So 40 years we've been friends. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get through this? It's pretty nerve-wracking, right? You're in the middle of this Arab town, and it's pouring with rain, and I'm not armed, and if I was armed, it wouldn't make a difference either. And I suddenly adopted something, which I think is part of the message here. I just said to myself, you know, in 3 hours, I'll be in bed. So just keep focused. Just keep focused. This will finish. This will finish. And then it'll be okay. And I didn't plan that, and I didn't think about it, and no one taught me about it, but on occasion after occasion, ever since then, whenever I've been in a period of crisis, I've always felt that if I could just focus forward, just think, okay, after this, it'll be okay. What's the worst case scenario? After this, it'll be okay. That's what he's saying here. Mamish, that's his point. The point of reference here is we are a levana because there are times of darkness, but we know there will always be a full moon. Go over the page just a little bit more. I'm not going to speak for much, but I've got to go clean. Just go over the page. Od merumaz b'mitzvat ha'chodesh hazeh lachem sh'yudim mitzveh l'itchadesh tamid k'briyah chadasha. This is another thing which is so important for all of us, is the ability to renew oneself. The most important part of our life is the fact that we have routine. Routine is far, most of our life is routine, right? Chag is 7 days in a year. 6 days of a week is routine. My bread and butter is routine. What's the problem of routine? It breeds complacency. You go to shul every day, three times a day, put tefillin every day, just to say, I have Shabbos. You need lehit chadesh. There's a new moon every month. Rabbi Bernstein, he was the rabbi of Finchley many, many years ago. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, my son is named after him. And he used to say, Breishit bara Elokim, God created beginnings, the ability of a human being to begin. And that's a bracha, right? The ability that whatever you did yesterday, you can always start again. Mada hava hava, the biggest... Right? To sin is an avera, right? Avera from the word avar, is to look behind, look back. Lot's wife's mistake is that she looks back. Looking back is pointless, unless you're looking back to look forward. But stum looking back is pointless. The ability to start anew, to start afresh, tamid kebriyah chadasha, kumo she'omrim bibirkat ha'levana, and that's the other part of the levana. Levana teaches hitchadshut, the ability lechadesh et atzmeinu. Go to the Emet Liakov, and I just add some 2 points here, which I'll say outside, so you don't need to worry. Emet Liakov points out, now you know this from your studies of Shemot, that each plague took roughly 3 weeks. Each plague took roughly 3 weeks. So the whole Geshef took about a year, right? The whole thing took about a year. The plague of Choshech, of darkness, is the one but last, right? So almost at the end. Now what does Rashi say, quoting Chazal, what does Rashi say? How many Jews died in the plague of Choshech? 4/5 of the Jewish people died in the plague of Choshech. Now, if you do some basic math, okay, and I'll make it easy for me, not for you, for me. 600,000 Jews came out of Egypt between the ages of 20 and 60. Okay, between the ages of 20 and 60. So you can assume that there were as many younger and older, a million, 1,200,000, 250,000. And there were probably as many women. So 3 million Jews came out of Egypt. If 3 million Jews came out of Egypt and 4/5 were killed in the plague of Choshech, how many Jews died a month before Yetziat Mitzrayim? 12 million. That's what he says. The Emes Yaakov says, you take that midrash literally. 4/5 of the Jews died a month before Yetziat Mitzrayim. 12 million Jews. The Jews woke up one morning a month before Geula, and they saw 12 million dead Jews. And what do you think they thought when they woke up and saw 12 million dead Jews? Did they think there was going to be Geula a month later? Why should there be? Now, if you're a B'nai Akiva Madrich, you would obviously speak about Israel after the Holocaust. But Emes Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, is not a B'nai Akiva Madrich. He's a Gadol B'Torah, but not a Zionist. And he doesn't even elaborate on his message, but he says it. He says it mamash. He says at least 2 million men died in that time, and they didn't know why. They just woke up one morning, all these people were dead. They thought, this is the end. It's Choshech. And a month later, we came out of Egypt. So who knows? Who knows? When we talk about trusting God, there are different shitas in trusting God. I promise Belineda that I'll finish in 5 minutes, okay? So 2002, there were a lot of terrorist attacks in Jerusalem, in Israel. They were blowing up buses, 30 people at a time. We had a lockdown for the whole year in the Midrasha. A whole year, the girls couldn't leave the Rova, just on buses that we arranged to take them to Malka, whatever, not a free Shabbat, nothing. We had a whole year in the Rova. It was really, really dangerous. You couldn't get on a bus. And someone phones me up, a Bretzlever phones me up, and I say, how's everything? He says, kol tova. I said, what are you talking about? Kol tova. I said, what are you talking about? Like, we're spending our lives at shiva houses. What are you talking about? And these little children, there was Applebaum. Remember that girl the night before she got married? She was killed with her father. It exploded. There were so many different. So he said, no, kol tova. I said, I go by the Chazon Ish. What does the Chazon Ish say when he says, kol tova? It is brainless just to say that everything's good. It means that you're just not connected. And I'll prove it halachically. When someone dies, you don't say Shechianu and have a l'chaim. We're not Irish, right? We sit shiva and we say Baruch Dayan Ha'emen. And we tear our clothes. You don't say Hakola Tova and start jumping up and down. You're a human being. Someone just died. You're sad. You're upset. You should be. You're a human being. So what does Hakola Tova mean? So I don't know what he's doing, but I know that he knows what he's doing. And I trust that he knows what he's doing. I got no idea what he's doing. I can't explain anything. It infuriates me when rabbis get up and start explaining things. I can't. Anything. Even when things kind of make sense to us, like the not achdut before, I can't stand it. I mean, unless you're a Navi, you have no right to say why things happen. But I have 100% belief that God knows what he's doing. So you wake up one morning and there are 12 million Jews dead. But fact is, Geula happened a month later. In 1945, it was the end of the Jewish people. No other people would have survived that. And in 1948, we had a country. We had a country, by the way, with how many aeroplanes did we fight that war in 1948? One aeroplane. I don't think it was even an American one. Certainly wasn't a British one. They took all of our weapons. Makes you proud, doesn't it? They took all of our weapons. They confiscated them because they wanted it to be a fair fight, apparently. And we've got a country in 1948, 3 years after. Now, you've heard this 100 times, but it has to start sinking in. It should be sinking in because we're living this. I've told my girls a number of times, the question you have to ask yourself. You don't have to ask yourself anything, but the question I think one should ask oneself is, do you want to be in a picture or do you want to take a photograph? I want to be in the picture. I made a fundamental decision 34 years ago to be in the picture. I came here, I had no one here, no one. An old cousin in Khadera who tried to force feed me that I never went to visit. I was the first one from my family to come. I got a house, I got a family, my sister's here, my dad's here now, Baruch Hashem. I've not done anything in my life at all of any importance at all. But if I can say I'm in this picture, I'm not waving flags in Trafalgar Square, which is great, fantastic, but I'm not doing that. I'm living here. When we went, we took the girls down south. I'm sure you all did this, right, to visit the various places. I think we were one of the last groups to go down. And I'd never been in one of these bus shelters, you know, Miguelnir. And it was quite shocking for me. I actually took my children there on Friday. And it was very shocking for me because the madrikha who was doing this there started showing a film of what actually happened in that particular, well, it's the one on the other side of the road. What happened? You know what I'm talking about, right? The bomb shelters with Anir. And I was absolutely blown away. And one of these South African girls said to me, "Well, you never saw these videos?" So I said, "Well, why would I watch the videos? I live it. I live here. Why would I watch films? I'm in the film. I am the film." You want to spend your life watching films, what other people did in their lives? What do you want to... The film made about you. For good reasons. For good reasons. It's a big decision. It's an ideological decision. It's a fundamental, life-changing decision. I went to Jews College, which doesn't exist anymore. I think I could have been a rabbi in London. I think I could have done good work in London. Never for a minute look back. Never for a minute look back. And was it hard? Of course it was hard. But that emunah, that faith. And to know, you should know. However worried, and it's totally natural to be worried. The girls here have no idea what I went through over those months because I couldn't explain it on that getaway that they did because I couldn't come. I had to be with my dad in hospital. But I was meant, you know, when Dr. Yocheves spoke, when they all spoke there, I just wanted to get to sleep at night. I just wanted to get to bed. My Shanabek girls told me I had anxiety, but I don't know what that means. I just have sons in the army. That's what I thought it was. But she said I had anxiety, whatever. So I just get through the day. I just get through the day. But with the knowledge that something's happening here. We've been praying about this for years. And it's actually happening. It's actually happening. In front of your eyes. Now you can naff it off, you niff-naff, get rid of it. You read Yechezkel, you read the dry bones. They read those dry bones, Prakim, for thousands of years. They didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Today, when you read the dry bones in Maidanek, next to the pile of dry bones, and you understand Lo Avda Tikvateinu, you understand what Yechezkel was talking about. They didn't understand for 2,000 years, they didn't understand what Yechezkel was talking about. We're mamash living this. We're in the middle of this Megillah. This Emes Yaakov is incredible. And the final piece is Rav Hirsch, where Rav Hirsch points out, it's in, I think it's in Bamidbar, right? In Baalot, for Rav Hirsch point, it's a brilliant piece of Rav Hirsch. But he's talking about the travelling of the Mishkan. He says, you'll note that we spend most of our lives not going anywhere, just being stuck, stationary. And a big part of Judaism, which coming all the way round to where we started, is knowing how to survive that and how to keep going. And I think, final word, I think that that's how we should go into Leil HaSeder, with pride. Rav Amital, my Rosh Hashiva, said to us on many occasions, he lived through the Holocaust, his family was destroyed in the Holocaust. He said there are three parties involved in the Holocaust. There's the perpetrators, there's the bystanders, and there's the victims. Rav Amital, I heard him say it numerous times. He said, "I would only ever want to be a victim. If it all happened again, I would never want to be a Nazi. I would never want to be a Swiss person or a Brit or an American. I would never want to be any of these people." They stood by, each in their own way. Each in their own way. Read Auschwitz and the Allies by Sir Martin Gilbert. You'll see what the British and the Americans could have done in 1944 when they bombed Auschwitz III and they flew over Auschwitz II and took pictures of Jews going to the gas chambers. It's all documented. Rav Amital said, "I would want to be a survivor. If you ask me, where would you want to be? I want to be part of a people." And I saw a beautiful clip. I don't really do this so much, but someone sent it to me. In Amsterdam a few days ago, there was this Jewish gathering. And there was just a gathering to pray for Israel. And a group of pro-Palestinians walked in and started screaming and shouting. And, And they all turned towards them and started singing Oseh Shalom Bimromav. Jews go to demonstrate in Trafalgar Square. They wave flags and they sing about peace. They don't burn the British flag. They don't stick up posters about Yom Kippur through Oxford Street in a Christian country. We're in Galut, we're Machabed, you stand up for the Queen's Prayer or the King's Prayer, whatever it is, and I much prefer to be a member of that people, the people who remain B'nai Adam, the people who remain B'nai Adam. Our soldiers don't rape people, they don't kill old people inadvertently, and the morals of our army are beyond any army in the world. If America had the problem in Gaza, Gaza would no longer exist. Based on Afghanistan after 9/11. Gaza wouldn't exist. There wouldn't be 30,000 fatalities, there would be 2 million. Because that's what they did in Afghanistan. It wasn't even the home of, not every Afghan was a terrorist. Not every Gazan is a terrorist. 30,000 people, which is terrible, is nothing compared to any other country in the world. I won't receive Musa from these people. So I don't want to be anyone else. So I get to say tonight, I lift my head high. This is the anniversary of the Jewish people's relationship with God. It's the independence of the Jewish people. And independence, the oldest people in the world, the most ancient people in the world, the most moral people in the world. Whatever you decide to do, whichever way you go in life, wherever you decide to live, you should always be proud to be a Jew. And to remember as a Jew, there are times when it's dark. But those times will pass. They've passed in the past and they will pass again. Thank you for your patience. You've got that.